a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy, gradually becoming sunny with a high near 72. Thursday, patchy drizzle again, fog before 8 a.m., mostly sunny with a high near 72. Borders forecast for the Monterey Bay Area for this evening, small craft advisory in effect overnight. Tonight, west winds 15 to 20 knots with gusts as high as 25 knots. Wind weighs 4 to 5 feet. Southwest swells around 2 feet at 18 seconds. KSCO News Talk time, 8:06. Time now for Wake the Bear Radio.
Expressed in the following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers.
Come on.
Love that roar.
It's time again. Time to be about the business of waking the bear.
Yes, and what is the bear?
The bear's California.
That's right.
And she's waking up.
What is she waking up to?
She's waking up to people trying to take over her state and with nefarious purposes.
Nefarious purposes. Yes. That's right. Okay. Well, hey, we've got a lot of cool things tonight, but let's go over the news of the week. A lot of stuff's been happening just recently, actually.
Wow.
So, yeah, let's go for it.
Well, what about the White House? I mean, I heard that they did this raid on Mar-a-Lago, and apparently the Biden White House knew nothing about it, right? That's what
they
told
us. Yeah.
Oh, no, this is an independent part of the government. We don't get involved. It's an independent agency that's not being directed by your political operatives or political opponents.
Yeah, that's right. The official response to that raid from the White House was that they had no idea. And so they say, hey, we had no idea. We were unaware of this. We weren't told what Merrick Garland had done. And so they were quite concerned. At least they acted like they were concerned, like, what's happening here? But it looks like there actually was some earlier conversations, and it was back in May. And back in May, they said that they were going to discredit Trump's claim to executive privilege.
Mm.
So they were saying, you know, we're not going to honor that. And so that was done a while ago.
So that was a lie then, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, oh no, it's not true.
Yep, exactly.
Another lie coming out where the weaponization of political opponents has been done by the ultra left in this country.
Yeah, just came out.
And that's fascism, okay? That's totalitarianism. That's the type of thing that we've been warned about in communism.
Yep.
And it's happening in our government right now. That's part of what we're waking the bear about in California, because it's not only happening on a federal level, but it's happening on a local level where our state representatives have been bought out by the federal government to enact laws that are unjust, that they need to say, no, we will not enact those laws.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we opened that up. I mean, it was May 10th, the letter. I'm just looking at the New York Post here where it was reported. One of many places it's reported, but it was a letter that became public, and the acting national archivist Deborah Citadel Wall, she notes that the president's counsel had told her, President Biden defers to my determination. So he gave her the ability to make the decision, and they decided not to honor those claims, and those claims being Donald Trump claiming executive privilege. And so that was back in May 10th. And that's why they had the earlier investigation, where they had gone to Mar-a-Lago, and Donald Trump gave them everything they wanted, and they said, you ought to put a lock on that safe.
Mm.
And so they had already gone there. So why would you need to raid when he had been cooperating the whole time? And now with that raid, you know, they're finding that it was outside even the scope of what was supposed to be raided.
Maybe they wanted to see Melania's shoe collection.
Mm. It could be.
That would be a motive.
Yeah, maybe. Was it Jill Biden? I haven't even committed their names to memory. Maybe Jill's jealous of the clothes.
Jill's jealous of the clothing.
I need something to prop us up.
The wardrobe.
Yeah. sure she's helping dressing him, right? I mean,
I'll just keep talking about some news right now, but we do have a guest speaker who's going to be calling in just a bit. His name is Victor Reed, and he's going to be discussing tonight a really great topic. Why don't you tell us about the topic here, Ron?
Yeah, so the topic is how people are giving up their rights and they don't even know it.
Wow.
And so he protects people's rights by educating them, and it's done through contracts. Admiralty law and things like that. We'll get into that.
Great.
I'm not sure where he's at. So if you guys want to continue talking about the news, I'm going
to
make sure.
I want
to
hear what Chris has to say about AB 2157.
Oh, my goodness. So if I'm a little excitable, it's not because I had too much coffee. I saw the news today about AB 2157, which is in the Senate, and the bill, it's about prison reform. How it's being sold, but it is such an open book about in helping criminals and really not protecting the victims. And so the bill was obviously getting passed, and one of the parts of the bill is that it would have alternatives to incarceration, including collaborative justice court programs, diversions, and what you call restorative justice for crimes. And so Senator Shannon Grove, she said, because in this, it included human trafficking, you might get, if you were caught as a human trafficker, you might get a minor, treated like a minor offense. And so she was fighting for that human trafficking should be considered a violent and serious crime. And the Senate would not pass that. And so right now, if you are convicted, not right now, but in 9 days, they're going to go take it to the full Senate vote. And we need some people to call in to their senators and talk about AB 2167 and say that it needs to be pulled down.
57. Is it 2157, 2167?
I've got 67 unless I did a typo.
51, 57 on the top.
Okay, I need to check that out. But it's the prison reform bill.
Prison reform bill.
And so right now, can you imagine that if you were you just got out of human trafficking, that your abuser got arrested and they decided they wanted to use restorative justice as the means to punish your abuser.
Wow.
Now, restorative justice, it's currently being used in our school systems, where you're not seeing a lot of kids suspended. And basically, let's say the bully comes and the bully, you know, smashes the kid's face into the locker, breaks out a few teeth, pulls a knife on someone, walks in the girl's bathroom, and interrupts, is totally interrupting. But if the bully says, I want to have reconciliation justice. So basically, they bring the victim who just got hurt and the bully into the vice principal's office, and they say, are you sorry that you did that against this person? And the bully simply says, sorry, man, I didn't mean to smash your face and bust out your teeth and pull a knife on you and give you a head injury. And now they are reconciled.
So it's like loophole for creeps.
It's a loophole, and it's a total farce, and it's the emotional social learning that is being taught in our school system. And so now you take that out of the schools and you put it in the prisons, where people are perpetrating human trafficking. And you know, human trafficking, that is slavery.
If there's anything that should be, like, you should have the book thrown at you, so to speak, it should be human trafficking, child sex trafficking.
Oh yeah.
Trafficking minors. I mean, there's like, what world are we coming to where that's not evil?
Oh, yeah.
Let's be straight up. That is evil.
Yep. And
definitely.
So it blatantly protects the criminals. So you want to call your senators and talk about the prison reform. Again, I had it as 2167. I'm pretty sure it is 2167.
It'll be on our show notes, so I'll make sure it's the right one.
Thank you, Ron. You're the best. Okay. So I'll try not to go off on that anymore, but it is just pulling at my heartstrings.
Okay. Yeah, and it should. I mean, that's just there's so much obnoxious stuff going on right now. It's almost like the people that are in power realize they're going to be losing power soon, and they're trying to pass as many crappy, horrible bills as fast as possible.
Absolutely.
In the California legislature. That's what's going on. Mm-hmm. I really believe that's actually what's going on. And and I also believe that there is a global, like, a global conspiracy to lie to people to make them think that they're in the minority of thinking that's evil. And that's actually come out this week. You sent me something, Ron, on this, that there's actually a thing called Demcast, and they're gearing up for the midterms, the 2024 midterms. And Demcast is a cabal organization that is utilizing social media to post bot. It's a bot farm. It's like eight people in the last 7 years have posted 51 billion impressions.
No, not 7 years, since 2019.
7 years.
3 years.
3 years.
Or 2020.
51 billion.
Oh, no, 22.
51 billion impressions.
Yeah.
And they're finding people on like in this group of people that are this group of bots that are like, they're all associated with this thing called Demcast and Blue Crew. And they have these hashtags and these anomalies. They found that one of the person has posted 61
social posts
a day for the last 7 years without stop. 144,000 posts.
Oh, wow.
So we know that so Elon Musk, who was exposing that Twitter was corrupt, is actually, he's exposing that they have bot farms not real accounts.
Hey, with no more further ado, it was a mix-up on my part how our guest is calling in. He went through computer. So we've got that set up, and we're going to pipe him in through here. Can you hear us?
You're echoing.
Echo. Talking about our sound guy.
Sir, can you turn down your headphones or the microphone, possibly? See if we can kill the echo.
Is it coming from Victor's?
Honestly, it's hard to tell. I could go in there and try to put Opal on your board, see if we can kill it.
Let's do that. Hang on there, Victor. Sorry. We'll
Luke,
get you
Luke,
in
Luke,
through
Luke,
there.
I am your father. Father.
Yeah.
Experiencing technificalities from the dark side.
Hey, while we're doing this, let's talk about Anthony Fauci.
Oh, okay. Do we have to?
Well, it's good news. He's moving on, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he's moving down the road. He says he's not retiring. He's not going to wait till Biden leaves office to retire, but he wants to move on. And, you know, his current position right now is director of the NIAID, which is where he's been doing his infiltration into the pharmaceutical industry.
One of the most corrupt agencies on the planet. Yeah.
He's been holding it for 30 years. But anyway, I wanted to go ahead and acknowledge that we might have him moving on in December.
What's moving on look like?
Well, he says, I want to use what I've learned as NIAID director to continue to advance science and public health and to inspire and mentor the next generation of scientific leaders as they prepare the world to face future infectious disease threats.
You got no sound, Victor? I don't think he could hear us.
Victor.
I can't hear the program.
Okay.
So I don't know if you can hear me.
I can hear you.
I can hear you, but we need a two-way conversation.
We can hear you.
Oh, maybe he can just call in.
Can you call in?
Just call the
number.
Do you
have something to call in with?
479-1080, KSEO. Call on in.
831.
831-479-1080. Just call. That works the best.
If they if he's got that.
That would be terrific. That would be terrific.
Yeah, I don't know why this is not working tonight. This is just...
It's because Victor has a major message that we need to hear.
Did you read the part where the LA Public Health is giving free COVID tests now to pets? And the New York Times is encouraging masks to stop monkeypox. Mm. Okay, so let's talk about getting free COVID tests for pets.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you remember when the Tanzanian president, John Magufuli, I think his name was, he was mocking the efficacy of the COVID test because the goat and the pawpaw fruit came back positive. Do you remember that? That was back in, I think it was May of 2020. And then he mysteriously, he had a heart attack soon after that. But he was standing for his rights and the people of Tanzania's rights and standing against that. But we already know that evidently animals can test positive for COVID because we've seen it with the goats.
And plants can test positive.
And plants. And then on the CDC website, as far as the LA... New York's encouraging the masks. We know monkeypox is not an airborne. The CDC website says, and this is right off their website, it is oral, anal, vaginal sex, touching of the genitals with a person who has monkeypox.
Oh, but and we should just put a mask on everybody and pretend like it's
that's not. That's right. Yeah. They're not willing to call it an STD, but the highest population of those that have it are gay males that are involved in same-sex sex.
Wow.
So
interesting.
I mean, it just floors me that there is what's going on as far as believability of the news, and so that's part of, you know, the narrative that we want to talk about and really come against is the just believing blindly what you're told and
like a conspiracy theorist. You're anybody who doesn't go with the party line, anybody who's not following the party line, which is all of these Demcast boat, you know, all the Demcast speechify, and the auto-generated bots are telling you to believe a certain ultra-leftist message. If you don't go, then you must be a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, well, I've got a lot of conspiracy theories, and I think most of them are right. I'm just waiting for them to be proven.
Well, let's break it down. A conspiracy is that two people got together and decided to do something evil.
I just thought, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And a theory is you have a thought, you see evidence, and then you go and you create a theory of the scientific method, and you test your theory by more evidence, and you come to a conclusion, which is just following science. Right?
It shows I'm connected.
All right, I'm going to take over the board.
Go for it. Take over the board.
Just turn my voice as I'm talking.
So we can hear the guest in the background. I wonder if people listening tonight can hear the guest in the background on radio.
I can't hear you guys, though. That's the problem.
Can you hear us right now, Victor?
Okay.
So,
Victor, are you there?
I'll try and call in.
try the call in. 831-479-1080. We're looking forward to talking to you, Victor. Thank you so much. So while he's getting ready to call in, I just want to go back to this because I'm actually floored by this whole Demcast thing, this whole thing with the auto-generated. There's a guy named Nick Knudsen who's organizing this Demcast and Blue Crew to basically get everybody to believe that they're crazy and that their belief system is the only one that they should believe. Now, we know that all the studies that have been proven that 75% of people will say the symbol is a triangle when the symbol's a square if everybody else says it is. So they'll deny what they see with their eyes. So that's what they're utilizing deception to get people to believe a lie.
Yeah.
That's evil.
Yeah, that is. That is. I was talking to Brandon earlier. I said, I don't understand why any of these bots should be. I mean, when Twitter's saying we only have 5%, I thought, why are there
0%?
Yeah,
fake accounts.
This is completely deception.
Okay, so we actually have Victor on the line.
All right.
Victor, can you hear
Woo-hoo!
Us?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
You well, I'm clear, Victor. Thank you for your persistence, man. We're glad you're on tonight. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
Yes, we're going to let you talk as much as possible because we've eaten up quite a bit of time. But I'll let you talk about your bio, what you want to share, and then we'll go right into the content, which is going to be amazing.
Yeah, we have lots of great questions for you.
It must be good because of that. You know, it was hard to get through, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Those demon techno difficulties got shut down.
That's right. So yeah, Victor, tell us a little bit about yourself real quick. Just give the audience an idea of, you know, maybe some of the background that you worked with to be where you're at today.
Okay, well, I guess my launch occurred when I was baptized with my face in a toilet in a county jail in 1998. Oh. And what led up to that was in 1994, I had heard that we all had a right to travel, and that that's different from driving. And I got really curious about that. I had also heard about the same time that the Internal Revenue Code applies to a very small group of people, and it doesn't apply to most Americans. That really intrigued me. And then I had some lawsuits with against some clients where during the discovery process, I came across some documents that I had never seen before, and that really piqued my interest. This all happened at the same time. It was like this avalanche of awakening, and I went to the law library to do all my research for my legal cases. And while I was there, I just couldn't help but do a little more research into these other things. And then I began looking around. Now, this is before the internet had, you know, really launched. Most people didn't even know about it. So there was nothing on the internet. And so I had to go to the law library to do all this research. And then as far as finding other people that knew about this stuff, that was also really challenging. There was not a computer system where I could jump on and look around. So I had to call a lot of people that I knew and just did some networking by, you know, who knows who and who knows this about this and da-da-da. And God really did a lot during that time period. Just he kept on bringing people into my life to guide me. For example, I decided that I would, so I couldn't find anyone that knew this stuff really. And so I decided, well, I'm going to test this on myself. So the easiest thing to test was the right to travel. Can I use biblical principles and the Constitution to fight a traffic ticket, for example? So I got a speeding ticket, and I used in my, now I was really green on the whole procedural process, so I stepped in all kinds of things, but I still was able to make my arguments based upon the legal principles. And one of the times that I was in court, I ran into a group of guys that were of the same mindset, but they were farther along down the road. And they had investigated a lot of other things and how the court systems work and the underlying motivations for the court systems and so forth, and who really controls the courts. And so these people really just launched me and pointed me in the right direction, where to look in the law library and so forth, and then digging into history books and stuff. And so then I won my first challenge on a constitutional basis. I beat that thing, and so I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to dig in this even further. And what ended up happening was I was so wrapped up in this, call it the right to travel. I was investigating that. I was investigating the Internal Revenue Code and its application. And then I was suing a client. And so basically my business was on hold for like 2 years when I just spent every day in the law library and digging up the stuff. And then when I would get a ticket, then I would, write up all the documentation and so forth and go into court. And I amassed a long string of wins over the years for myself and for other people in traffic court. And as well, back in 95, I chose to stop participating in the income tax scam. And that's been a real... A great fruitful thing that's allowed me to direct my finances and my energies to building the kingdom rather than to subsidizing evil and feeding the New World Order. And I also, over the years, have just continued to dig more and more. And, the deeper I go down the rabbit hole, the more... there is to that pops up into my face, and the deeper I end up digging. So
oh, absolutely, I can I can attest. I know our paths have crossed over the years before, and I know from experience how it's a deep rabbit hole. I had gone to court to clear my to amend my record. I first did a FOIA, and then said, "Who am I? What do you have on me?" And obviously, I was clean of all the, of any crimes or anything, but they had me as a U.S. citizen, and so I wanted to amend that, and I made it up to the Ninth Circuit before they went against me, but so I kind of remember some of those things. That was about 20, 25 years ago, and so I know our paths crossed years ago.
That was about when we met.
Yeah. And so what are you focused on today? I know that I went to your website, which we will have in our show notes, links to your website, but you had a great teaching. It was a primer, and maybe you can go over some of that and educate our audience on some of the things, how you give up your rights and change them for privileges. So just go for it.
Okay. I began educating people on how to defend their rights in 2017. And then lo and behold, 2020 comes along, and everybody wakes up. Well, not everybody, but there were a lot of people that woke up that for the past 25 years have called me a conspiracy theorist, and they wouldn't hear anything that I was trying to tell them. And everything I do is... everything I tell people is based upon what I've actually read, not like rumors that people tell me. And a lot of stuff is also based upon me actually doing it, trying it, seeing, okay, is this true in real life? Does this actually happen? If I follow these things, does this actually happen? So lately what I've been doing is helping people learn their rights and how to defend against unconstitutional quote-unquote orders, these decrees to mask and social distance and jab and so forth, as well as, all the other things that encroach upon people's lives that they don't really, that they think they have to have. So for example, the first thing you ever challenged was the driving. So people think, in order to travel in my car on the roads, I have to have a license and have to register my car. Well, that's not true. And I've proven that. I have a car that I use to travel around on the roads that's never been registered, and I do not have a driver license.
Whoa.
So,
wow.
Or a license plate.
Well, yeah, there's no, obviously you can't have a license plate if your car's not registered.
Right.
Yeah, so I have no license plate. And And I've had some good conversations with various levels of law enforcement, sheriffs, highway patrol, et cetera, San Jose PD, Los Gatos PD, where they get a good educational experience, and I get no citation. So I teach people that. Mostly, though, it's been about teaching people how to defend their businesses. Because people are just getting hammered in their businesses. A lot of businesses have gone under because of the mandates. They went along. They thought, oh, if I just go along and I keep my business closed, then they'll leave me alone and I can open back up. Well, a lot of businesses found out they can't survive when their business is closed.
Go figure. Can't survive.
Red or black? Red, 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 red. The column never got black.
Right. And that doesn't help when Santa Clara County is fining businesses 50 times more than any other county.
Wow.
In the whole state. You know.
Deep state operatives and active at work in Santa Clara County.
Yeah, well, Santa Clara, the Santa Clara Street, right on City Hall, they just have a whole line of Black Lives Matter flags that are flying. So there is a little alternative agenda there.
Hmm. Yeah, and they didn't they? They encouraged all of the rioting and looting and so forth, and yet they clamped down on churches for meeting.
Yeah.
The hypocrisy and the logic betrays the fact that they're really tyrants that have an agenda.
Wow.
So I'm still trying to wake up businesses. Businesses are still in fear mode, and they still think, oh well, that won't happen again. That was a one-time thing, and I can go on with my. And if they have us do this again, okay, I'll go along with it because the businesses that survived, they're thinking, you know, I can survive again. But I'm trying to wake up businesses to the fact that no, you are not going to survive. They're driving even harder, and the next thing that comes down, you're not going to be ready for it, unless you learn some basic principles and are. The first principle is that our Constitution and our jurisprudence in America was built upon biblical principles.
Right.
Most of our founding fathers were Christians, and you can go back through the history, the documents in their own writings and quotations of people that listened to them, and you can also go to the East Coast, and you can see biblical representations and scriptures all over the place.
Right.
They're trying to hide it all. They're trying to tear down statues and monuments and so forth. But if you just go off the beaten path and you go beyond the chain link fences where they're trying to hide this stuff, you can see that when the pilgrims came to America, they came for the purpose of religious freedom, mm-hmm. getting away from a tyrannical king, and spreading the gospel. And so they knew, they had a good understanding of Scripture, and they knew that the Lord is our judge, lawgiver, and king, and that he's our ultimate sovereign. We need to honor him above everything else. We need to follow him and obey him above everything else. And that, therefore, our laws need to be built upon biblical premises.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they did. And as you know, our nation has been blessed more than any other nation in the world, I believe, because of that, the freedoms that following God gives and having his principles into our laws. So the Constitution has, everybody knows about the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, where it's explicitly stated that the Constitution will guarantees that our government servants will preserve these rights. That's their job. Mm. The government servants are constrained by the Constitution. We're not constrained by the Constitution. And also, our rights don't come from the Constitution. Our rights come from God.
Amen.
The Constitution constrains government to the sole purpose of protecting our rights. And so 10 of those are enumerated in the Bill of Rights, but there's many, many more. Those are just explicit because the founders wanted that to be clearly understood, just to kind of as a reiteration.
Right.
But you know, when they wrote it, they all understood that the rights are really innumerable.
Mm-hmm.
They're just contained within the envelope of God's principles. And so, you know, you're not going to chop off your private parts. You're not going to claim that you're a man when you're a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to, vice versa, claim that you're a woman when you're a man. You're not going to murder people and stuff like that. That was clearly understood. It didn't need to be written down.
Right.
Well,
I want to say one thing about that I think, Victor, you know, even the phrase constitutional rights, it sounds, we don't have constitutional rights. We have God-given rights protected by the Constitution. And I try to tell people that, you know, over and over again. It's like these are common laws that come from God, and these are just to enshrine those truths, you know, in our laws. So,
yes, that's so true. And so, and as you know, the first thing that tyrants go after throughout history when they want to take over society and just dominate their will upon people is they go after Scripture. They go after Christians. They go after any kind of thought of God or the Bible, and they begin perverting it and then eliminating it. And so what we've had, and I don't know, maybe this happened to you, Brandon, when you went through seminary, you get this indoctrination into verses like Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2,
mm-hmm.
where they just tell you, oh, this means that we're supposed to obey all government authorities. But a closer examination of those scriptures reveals that that's not really the case. And just taking a broad view of Scripture, when you look at all the instances throughout the Old Testament where tyrants tried to impose their will upon God's people,
right?
What was the response?
We will not bow.
Right.
Far be it from us to listen to you than to do what God told us to do.
No king but Jesus, no sovereign but God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
that's right.
Well, Egyptian kings, you know, they got free, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So in every case, they rebelled against tyrants. And I love that Ben Franklin actually thought that the dollar bill should actually have the words on it: resistance to tyrants is obedience to God.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, I wish that would have been put on there.
Yeah, that
I like
would be
it.
Nice. So, Victor, we have actually a caller online. I'm going to wait 5 more minutes before I let James on because I want you to continue your thoughts. Since we only have about 15 minutes, maybe we can move on to these topics.
Can we move back just to kind of, because I feel like the basis of everything you're talking about is the creature from Jekyll Island. And if you could like quickly summarize that and then get into how that applies, that would be great.
Okay. Creature from Jekyll Island refers to the Federal Reserve, what happened was in 1913, well, actually it was before 1913, but it was passed in 1913, I think it was like in 1910, you had Rockefeller and the wealthiest people in the world, bankers and industrialists and so forth. They met on Jekyll Island off the coast of Georgia in order to design the Federal Reserve and the scam to roll it out. And the way they did it with a false flag, just like the New World Order has done throughout history. And the false flag was, hey, let's crash the banking system as it was. So you had all these independent banks. And so you could go to this bank and you could put your money in and you get a certificate from that your voucher saying, okay, this is the money that you have in this bank. And then you would, if you want your money back, you'd come back and you present the voucher and you get your money back. Well, they wanted to crash all these banks, take over, and then issue a fiat currency that is a currency that really has no basis whatsoever. It's not backed by gold. It's just backed by nothing, because then you could just print, yep. And you rob people of their wealth. So that's what they did. They all boarded a train. They went off to Jekyll Island. They didn't use their real names. They used fake names, and even the servants there didn't know what their real names were. And they designed this plan, and then they went to their cronies in the White House and in Congress, and they passed the Federal Reserve Act. They also passed the Income Tax Act and the 17th Amendment. All those things robbed the American people of their liberties. That was the stake in the ground where it really started, because at that point, people began to feed the owners of the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve is still a private company. Still to this day, it's a private company. It's not
just as private
government.
As Federal Express.
That's right.
Banksters, yes, they are banksters.
Yeah, that was during President Wilson's time, right? I remember a quote.
Yeah.
He said something like, "I'm the most miserable man. I just destroyed my country." When he passed that. That's a long
time. Yeah. You know, these people have, on their deathbed, they've made these confessions. And they've, I guess trying to get right with God at the last minute, they confess these evil things that they've done. David Rockefeller, actually, long before he died, he wrote a book where he bragged about taking over control of America and the world. And he was proud of it. So, a lot of this stuff will eventually come out. Unfortunately, if people don't turn to God right now and start pushing back against tyrants, people may be dead by the time it comes out, or they may be enslaved.
Hey, Victor, we've got actually some more phone calls, callers calling in, and so I've got one that's been waiting on for a while. So I'm going to have him come in, probably maybe ask you a question. So it's James from Live Oak. James, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi, hello. Can I be heard? I appreciate the history lesson. I'm learning a lot tonight. I suppose if I had one question, it would be, what's the role of FEMA now? Because it's my understanding a state of emergency was declared on March 13th, 2020. And FEMA's been in control of the U.S. government ever since, so we don't have a constitution or a bill of rights. So what do we do?
Victor, you want to take a shot at that one? Thank you, James.
Yeah, it was a little bit difficult for me to hear him, but I think he was asking about a state of emergency and suspending the constitution.
FEMA.
Yeah, and FEMA, and how FEMA fits in.
Well, so back in the 90s, when I began doing my research, I came across, again, I met people and they shared things with me, and I came across documents back from much longer ago. It was like 1933 or before that, where there were Senate hearings and so forth, and they had declared a state of emergency. And then we dig a little deeper and find out, well, these states of emergency have been declared again and again and again, and they've never been removed. They've never been revoked.
Yeah, that's happening in California. So, we're still in a state of emergency. For what?
In California, but I'm talking about like nationwide,
right,
from the federal government. we have all these emergencies on the books that are still there, and they've been there. And I believe that that's the reason why they've just been able to continue with all this tyranny. You know, having wars and having us pay for these wars or funding terrorist nations and so forth without any kind of congressional approval or whatever. Rolling out these pandemics, you know, like 1918, very similar to this pandemic. The whole wearing of masks and all that garbage. This has been going on for a long time. So I haven't heard about the one in March. I think you said 2020.
Yeah.
But it's irrelevant because we're already in constant repeated national state of emergency.
Absolutely. So I have a real quick question. Changing from common law to what they call, well, I'll let you talk about admiralty law. Can you explain that and how people maybe inadvertently have changed their common law status to
admiralty?
Being under admiralty?
No, is that the same thing as maritime law? Admiralty law, so it's the same thing?
I believe so, yeah. Yes. Okay. I'll let Victor talk about that.
Admiralty law and maritime law, they're basically the same thing. And the way that you get roped into those things is by contract. And a lot of these are subtle contracts, adhesion contracts, where you don't think that you're really getting into this this jurisdiction, but you are. For example, when you go into a court, and let's say it's just a little minor, you know, like you get a traffic ticket, and so you go into traffic court. What you're going to see in there is a flag that has a yellow fringe around it. Now, when I was first told about this, that represents admiralty, I thought that people that told me this were nuts, conspiracy theorists, and, you know, okay, I don't want to listen to these people. Mm-hmm. But one time when I was in court, I met a guy who was also in there challenging, and he said, hey, did you know about that flag? And I said, yeah, you know, I've been told that, but, you know, I think that's crazy. And he said, well, I was in court, and I was recording. Back then, they let us record. Like in my court case, I brought a tape recorder. I was able to record the proceeding. So he had brought a tape recorder in, and the judge let him record it. And he brought up the issue of admiralty jurisdiction in the court, and he challenged. He said, "No, I'm not under admiralty jurisdiction. I'm not giving jurisdiction to this court because I do not consent to admiralty jurisdiction." And the judge actually admitted. He said, "Yes, you're right. That is an admiralty flag, and it is for admiralty jurisdiction." And here we are. So the admiralty. Again, you can think of it like the captain of a ship. Mm-hmm. And so you've got these pirates out on the seas. And by the way, this stuff still happens. There still are pirates out there, and they're out there marauding ships and robbing and so forth. So you got a pirate out there on the seas, and he gets captured by let's say, a Coast Guard. And the Coast Guard, let's say, is from America. Well, the Coast Guard can say, okay, you're under my jurisdiction, even though you're from, you know, Iran. I'm declaring that you're under my jurisdiction, and these are the rules of my jurisdiction. You've got to give me all your bounty. You've got to jump overboard and swim to shore, and you've got to call me king. You know? And if you don't do, and if you don't do that, I'm going to shoot you. So there's a broad body of law, if you want to call it law, where when you're under admiralty jurisdiction, essentially the in this case it would be a judge, or it could be a commissioner or a guy posing as a judge. He has the full right to do whatever he wants to you. You know, so. One time when I was, here's a little anecdote, one time when I was in court, and I was challenging, the judge said, I can't hear you, and the court reporter can't hear you. Could you come forward a little bit, come around the bar? So you know how there's a little pony wall that you generally stand behind?
Right.
So I went around that, went through the gate, and I was standing inside now, and I call it standing on his ship. Mm. At that point, his demeanor completely changed, and he became fully tyrannical. And you will do this, you'll do this, da 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 da. And I realized, oh, wait a minute. I've just stepped onto his ship. I'm giving him jurisdiction.
In his jurisdiction, yes.
even though I had made the argument that, no, I'm here to challenge jurisdiction, you do not have jurisdiction, that jurisdiction has to be proven, by my actions, I overruled my own words.
Wow.
And so when I realized that, I backed out and went on the other side of the bar, and the judge got a big smile on his face, like, oh, darn, you just, he caught me.
Hey, Victor, I've got one more call. That is a good story because it shows how little you could do and instantly pull yourself back. So we got one more call with a question, and then we'll finish out with whatever you want to continue with. So I've got Richard from Watsonville. Richard, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Thank you. First question, I had two quick questions. And the first one, has your guest ever heard of a guy named B.E. Smith?
Victor, have you heard of that, B.E. Smith?
Yes, I have. And I read some of his stuff, but I don't remember what it was about.
Well, he used to come down here quite a bit. He lived up in Northern California. He drove a great big Cadillac convertible and no license plates. You know, he came down here and showed us that if you look at your tags on the back of your license plates, the one that you get every year has a very fine print for federal use only. So we didn't have to pay tag license for a while there.
Wow. And you have another question?
No, that was it. That was the only thing. I didn't know BE was even still around, so thank you.
Thanks, Richard. Appreciate the call there. All right. So,
I guess.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, I guess just to wrap up here, I just want to tag on to when we were talking about jurisdiction, because there are many subtle traps. For example, I was helping a person who has a business, and the business was fined by the county for not obeying the pandemic mandates. And so the county, you know, James Williams is the county council. That guy needs to go. That guy is a George Soros fellow.
Wow.
He brings this lawsuit against her. And they convinced her to get a public defender and persuade her, like, oh, no, he'll do right by you, and, he'll just give you some advice, and you can ask him questions and da-da-da-da. So he advised her to go through the case management conference, which is, if you're going to take part in a trial, that's kind of one of the first things you do if it's a civil matter.
Right.
So she took part in that, and then she filed her motion to quash, challenging jurisdiction. Mm. Well, the judge ruled against that. He denied her motion to squash.
Because
to quash.
She had that. We've got half a minute. Victor, can you tell us about your website? I'll have it on show notes, but tell everybody where, if you want to learn more, go for it.
Okay. It's passagetoliberty.com. I've got some videos on there that where you can see real life interaction with law enforcement, and then there's a lot of other resources on there, and you can sign up for a seminar. And when we have enough,
we'll talk to you. We got to have you back on. We'll get you on next time.
Yes, they